This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell. Thank you for being with us this weekend as we kick off New Beginnings for this middle of April. And right now, we'd like to bring in our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He's been with us for a number of years. He turns candidates into contenders through the auspices of RippleConnects.com. You can find him online, RippleConnects.com, as I mentioned, 763-438-1621. It's a wonderful weekend. Joe McKenzie is with us, and let's talk about the overlooked professional growth path. I was going to say plan, but I guess a plan could also set out a path in which a person can really start to put words on a paper that outlines a personal growth plan.
Absolutely, Freddie Bell. Good morning. How are you?
Unbelievable. Glad you're with us. Let's talk. The key discussion point we want to cover here is talk about why serving in a volunteer leadership position can bring professional growth, no matter who you are, where you are, where you find yourself in your career search.
I think one of the most overlooked paths to leadership development and experience and just getting that wherewithal is through volunteers. We've talked about volunteering for several years now. But if we frame it from a leadership position, maybe serving on a nonprofit board, voluntarily serving on a steering committee or a community advisory board, or in your faith organization or at your alma mater, let's just broaden that up. What you do is you carve out a seat at the leadership table next to people from all these different industries that tackle complex problems maybe differently than you do in your own industry. And just being able to be at that table, that leadership group that's completely outside your industry now, may pay dividends for someone that's 25 years old, 45 years old, 65 years old. So 65 years old. Many times we think about, oh, I'll wait till I volunteer when I retire. But in reality, Freddie, you can learn at 25, 35, 45, et cetera. You can gain valuable leadership skills, insights, techniques, methods just by volunteering. And you can bring that back to your work. We're in your industry. I know that some of the work that I'm doing as a director at a nonprofit, I learned sitting voluntarily on a nonprofit board how to overcome challenges, how to bring the best out of the different leaders at the table, how to listen so we could solve complex problems. That growth was there for me, and I'm confident that if someone is open to it, that they might see a complementary professional growth path that's completely through volunteer work. What are your thoughts when I say that?
It is. I know that there are a lot of people, when you say the word volunteer, their eyes roll up in their heads, but then I also know a lot of people who it seems as if that's all they do is volunteering. They serve on a number of different boards, but when I look at them, these are some of the people in the top echelon in our community.
Yes, it took work to get to that point. Believe me, I was not that great a board member 15 years ago. But then I honed my skills. I watched others. I watched how they were successful in their own industry, but also here and at this point that I'm next to. And along the way, I even found a couple of my mentors by almost this seat at the table. And those mentors even brought it to a whole nother level of being able to work with them. And that probably wouldn't have been possible because I wouldn't have met them. So think about that for a leadership, growth opportunity to maybe find a mentor just by serving. So all the listeners that are 25, 35, 45, and you're looking for a mentor, that may be that path that we're talking about here, that volunteer leadership opportunities. Put your leadership on the line. Get out of that comfort zone and lend to the conversation, listen to the conversation, and collaborate. And bring it back to your own industry. You'll be more well-rounded, Freddie. You will tackle problems differently, possibly. We've talked about cognitive diversity on this program.
Mm-hmm.
There are different people think differently and solve complex problems differently. And when you're witness to that or you're a part of that, you may be able to take that back to say, hey, let's look at it from this lens. Let's attack it here. That's professional growth. It doesn't always have to exist in your industry, Freddie. It could be in a complete different area, leadership, volunteer, what have you.
Well, everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, and we're talking about volunteerism as an overlooked professional growth plan that many people just walk by. And it really resonates with me about the leadership experience that you can gain just by being a member of a board or helping with a food drive or being at a vaccination site to even just simply take out the trash. There are a lot of things that happen, a lot of great benefits that come from being a volunteer. And you mentioned getting out of your comfort zone. What are you talking about when you were saying getting out of your comfort zone?
Well, you may be doing something that's completely different than what you're doing in your career. I didn't think I was a very, very efficient writer, effective writer. And here I was writing correspondence in regards to being a board secretary. Think of the challenge I had when I struggled with writing. I was good at communicating, but how about writing or getting out and talking to different groups about where, you know, what you're doing there as a volunteer? That was different than my industry. That helped me. That stretched me to know that I could go get out of my comfort zone and grow. Often we get into a career where we settle in and there may be no opportunities for getting out of your comfort zone. And we all know that getting out of your comfort zone equates to growth. So there's a logical reason right there for every 25-year-old, 35-year-old and up to hear my voice today that volunteering in a leadership capacity here in Minnesota may equate to professional growth just because simply you're getting out of your comfort zone, doing something different than your everyday career.
What do you say to those people who say, well, Joe McKenzie, this takes a lot of time to sit on the board, to go to the maybe weekly, monthly, or quarterly meetings or semi-annual meetings, and I'm trying to get to the top in my career. Is there a faster way? Do I have to be a volunteer? Is it really that critical to my career?
I think it is if you're playing a longer game of career growth and where you want to go and achieve those goals. I think you can manage your time wisely. I'm the father of triplets. I knew that when they were 3 years old, as far as I got was going to the grocery store. But when they got to be 13 years old, I knew that I could spend one evening every quarter at a table helping solve problems for a nonprofit. You do have to manage that time, make time, and you will start to see the benefits. You will see that traction that sets in. And at that point, Freddie, you will make time and you will prioritize your time. And so therefore, you're playing a longer game of career growth and not just for the next 10 years, but potentially for the next 40 years.
Well, Joe McKenzie with us talking about the overlooked professional growth plan, and that's volunteerism. If you're talking to somebody right now, they're developing the new transferable skills you just talked about, getting out of your comfort zone. But can you spend just a few seconds on talking about the mentorship that comes through volunteering?
Well, like I said, you might be in a position to find a mentor, or what if you're in a position to be a mentor to somebody? And that may be, you know, just the health benefits alone of staying engaged with someone to be helping in their career. But you're sitting at, you're in a position where you're a small group, a working group. What a great way to build those connections, but also those nurturing of relationships that you may collaborate with this person for the next 20 years. What a great opportunity. It's not a one-off. It's not 30 days and then I'm done. What if it's 3 years that you're working collaboratively with them? I think that key piece right there would be intriguing enough for me to seek out a leadership position. Plus, many of these opportunities, they need good leaders. They need people that are willing, that servant leaders to step up and help our community as a whole, either through the nonprofits or the faith organizations, alma maters, steering committees, events, what have you. The community needs, there's that need that is there, and you're helping meet those needs. But it's really a win-win because you grow so much and you do carve out a very unconventional professional growth path by volunteering.
Well, that's Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects, turning candidates into contenders. We've been talking this weekend about volunteerism as an overlooked professional growth path in your growth plan. Joe, you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And you're listening to New Beginnings. Stay right there.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
If you've received the vaccine, there is some good news.
For fully vaccinated people, if you've been around someone who's had coronavirus, you don't need to stay away from others anymore or get tested unless you develop symptoms. But if you live in a group setting or around someone who has coronavirus, and by group settings, we mean a group home, congregate care facilities, you know, someone who's in a correctional institution, you should still stay away from others for 14 days and get tested, even if you don't have any symptoms.
This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
Quantum physics and psychology have proven conclusively that you get what you expect. If you expect something different will happen.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
This time of year, I enjoy watching birds hop around in the fresh grass looking for worms, seeds, and other delights. I get enthusiastic about that. That's our point of focus, enthusiasm. I get a sense of enthusiasm when I see squirrels bounce excitedly from tree to tree or seeing a young dog run across an open field. These shows of natural enthusiasm remind me of life's simple joys. Although I may have more concerns than a bird, a squirrel, or a young dog, I can still greet each day with enthusiasm and an eagerness to appreciate life in every way possible. You can do it too. If you begin your day with a thought of gratitude, you open the door to a life filled with good and enthusiasm. Look forward to what each day holds, knowing that your enthusiasm will only increase. With this thought in mind, you can be enthusiastic about what lies ahead for the day. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Dr. Michael Osterholm joins us this morning, epidemiologist, and he's talking about the B.1.1.7 variant. And I'm wondering, doctor, if you're concerned about the spread among children and young adults.
Over the course of the past 2 months, as this B.1.1.7 variant, and this is a mutated virus that occurs, where, in fact, what happens is in the mutations, it either makes it spread more readily, and the B.1.1.7 is now spreading 50 to 100% times more than we, percent-wise, more than we see with the previous strains, and also it causes more severe illness. And so what we're concerned about now is it's spreading through our communities, and as you know, you can see the numbers are going up very quickly in the upper Midwest. And included in that are kids, and we're seeing more transmission in youth sports activities and schools itself, And so this has been a concern because kids now are getting sick. Again, not as often in a serious illness standpoint as we see with adults, but they're still getting sick. And the other thing is that they're transmitting the virus in the community. So we're spreading to people like young adults who are now getting sick and being hospitalized.
So what age group are you seeing, Dr. Osterholm? I know that there were some rises in infections in age groups 18 to, I believe, 25. When you say children, what age group are we talking?
We're talking about all ages. Right now, all the kids we're seeing, whether they're in daycare, K through 8, or, ninth grade on, we're also seeing it in terms of transmission in colleges. So it's really, they're all acting about the same. So it's not that kids are, again, transmitting it more than we see in adults. But prior to this, we just didn't see as much transmission. And now we're seeing a lot. We have a number of outbreaks in schools and daycare facilities now.
So what do you suggest, Dr. Osterholm? Are you, would you suggest that the children don't go back to school, don't do physical activities and the sports and everything they've been doing?
Well, no, at this point, we surely want to do whatever we can to continue to support school. And the question is, at what point is it going to be distance learning? What point is it going to be hybrid? And how much was all in-class learning? And I think we just have to be very mindful of what's happening right now with kids in schools. And if we see evidence of any transmission in these schools, I think you need to be able to pivot quickly and go back to either hybrid or, at the very least, consider the possibility that you may have to do distance learning until we get through this next weeks ahead, where we're going to see B117 there. I think with youth sports, this is a tough one. Indoor sports clearly were associated with many more outbreaks. We've had many outbreaks in youth sports associated with hockey, basketball, et cetera, and it really had to do with the indoor environment. We've seen less outdoors, but we still have had outbreaks when kids all ride in the same car together to go to an event or on the same bus, et cetera. So again, this is still a challenge. What the real answer is going to be is hopefully later this summer we're going to have vaccines that will be available for kids down as young as 10 years of age. And hopefully by even next fall we'll have vaccines that will be available down to 6 months of age or older.
Indeed. We're talking to Dr. Michael Osterholm, the director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the U of M. Doctor, the U.S. is on track. It's said to be on track for 50% of adults to have at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccine by this weekend. With the higher numbers of people being vaccinated, are we on track to seeing a curve and to seeing, I saw a report that said by the end of the summer, maybe we'll be on the other side of this. Is there any truth to that?
Well, in terms of by the summertime, there's a real possibility that we will be on the other side of it if the variants that also cause the vaccine not to work as effectively don't spread. That's going to be an important if. But at this point in the United States, what we're worried about is really the B117, which that vaccine works really well against the B117. So if we look, though, at the immediate term right now, just look no further than the state of Michigan, which is a house on fire. The highest rates of infection they've had through the duration of the pandemic, much more than even the two major episodes they had last April and again last November. So there's still enough people out there, even with 50% vaccines out there, that we can have still a lot of transmission in the community. So until we really get a much higher percentage of our population vaccinated, we're still going to be at risk for transmitting this virus.
And with that being said, Dr. Osterholm, how can we curb another surge of infections outside of obviously the vaccinations? What else can we do or continue
to
do?
Well, I know everyone wants to get outside. Everyone's tired of this pandemic. People's lives have been, really challenged over the course of the past year because of the pandemic. We're all feeling that. People's livelihoods, economic issues are huge. Essential workers who have to go to work every day to get a paycheck, they don't have a choice of not getting protected. And so what we really need to do is just concentrate on anything we can do to limit our transmission right now. Don't assume this virus is gone. It's not. And just hold on for, even 8 more weeks. I think we can get through this surge and really get to the other side of it. And then once we get there, we're going to continue to get more and more people vaccinated. And that's what's going to stop it. The other thing you can do is get vaccinated. I know there's a lot of distrust in the community about these vaccines. I can tell you with absolute certainty they're very safe. They're very effective. There is no long-term or short-term impact we need to worry about. And, you know, no one wants to be the person who dies who is scheduled to get their vaccine 3 days later. You know, now is the time we want to make sure we get that last push and keep people from getting infected so that they can get to the vaccines.
Well, Dr. Ostholm, to hear you say 8 weeks, I don't think we've heard a time frame in such a long time when it comes to this pandemic. So that's a little light at the end of the tunnel.
It is. You know, we've been over 14 months so far.
Wow.
You know, now we're just asking for one last push. You know, it's kind of like that marathon. You know, you've gotten, you know, all but 1 mile of it, you know, and you're still hanging in there. Don't give up now. You know, you're close. That's what you got to get people to is the other end of it.
Thanks for being with us. And New Beginnings continues right now. Elizabeth Evo, Vaccine Outreach Director for Minnesota's Vaccine Response Team, says there are still precautions we should take even if you're vaccinated.
Even if you've been fully vaccinated, you should still keep taking precautions in public places like restaurants or gyms by wearing a mask, staying 6 feet apart, avoiding crowds and poorly ventilated areas, covering your coughs and sneezes, and washing your hands often.
This message from KMOJ and the Minnesota Department of Health.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight, that you can't stop smoking, that you can't get over a fear, that you can't. $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis, wake up to your success.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
Hi, everybody. Before we step aside to go to our next segment on New Beginnings, it's always a pleasure. And we do want to let you know that we do enjoy bringing you the program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. If you'd like more information about any of the programs that you hear from our experts and our list of people who are directly involved in the work that we share with you at New Beginnings, we invite you to call me at 888-639-9738. Now, you didn't know that telephone number was going to come at you so quickly. Here's that number once again, 888-639-9738. Also, you can go to my webpage. It's simply Freddie Bell, FreddieBell, FreddieBell.com, and click on the radio page, and it'll take you to New Beginnings. And there you can find this week's program and programs actually for the last 5 years. You can find that information right there on our website, simply FreddieBell.com. Here's the telephone number again, 888-639-9738. There are many people like me who don't have a problem just picking up the telephone and calling. If you'd like to email me, it's simply Freddie@FreddieBell.com. F-R-E-D-D-I-E. Freddie@FreddieBell.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if there are topics that you'd like for us to discuss that you haven't heard yet on New Beginnings, we'd love to entertain that thought. Still to come, we have more great information for you as we continue our program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. Again, FreddieBell.com, the telephone number 888-639-9738. We always enjoy hearing from you, and thank you for making New Beginnings a point at listening each week. Right here.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning again and welcome to New Beginnings. And with me right now is the Vaccine Outreach Director for the COVID-19 Vaccine Equity and Engagement Team, Elizabeth Ebolt. And I'm really excited to have you along with us now because there is some really interesting news happening from the Department of Health in the state of Minnesota. And first of all, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Freddie. It's great to be back with you.
Tell us about the new FEMA-sponsored vaccine site at the state fairgrounds, if you don't mind.
Of course. And you're right. It is a very interesting week. I think that's the best way to describe it. So I am happy to share today that the state launched this week, in partnership with FEMA, a large-scale vaccination site at the state fairgrounds in St. Paul. And really, thanks to the efforts and leadership of Governor Walz, Minnesota is expected to receive 168,000 doses over the next 8 weeks. So that would be 3,000 doses per day, every day, for 8 weeks. As of now, the state will be administering Pfizer vaccines, at least for the first 3 weeks at the state fairgrounds. Any additional vaccine types after that are sort of to be determined at this point. And these doses are in addition to the state's regular allocation, which was so great about this, what's so great about this partnership. So in addition, we're going to be taking up to 1,000 doses per day offsite to community-based clinics to better serve the community that might not be able to make it to the state fair site. In total, we intend to reach 105,000 people at our site. Now, I think the big question would be, who is eligible for this site? How can I get a vaccine there? So because the partnership with the federal government was predicated on serving people who live in high social vulnerability areas, or in other words, areas that are at high risk during a public health emergency like the one we're in, because of factors like socioeconomic status, minority status, transportation needs, your household composition. So the people eligible for this site have to be 16 years and older and live in one of our high social vulnerability zip codes. To get an appointment, you can be selected from the connector. So people who fall into the eligible zip codes will be selected for the site from the connector, or you can call our MDH call center, which now is taking appointments over the phone. And that number is 1-833-431-2053. So go ahead and call that number if you're in an eligible zip code and you can book an appointment there.
Everyone, we're talking with Elizabeth Ebolt from the Minnesota Department of Health. She's the Vaccine Outreach Director. Once again, how can we get in contact with the Vaccine Connector and learn more information with the telephone number that you just shared with us, the 833 number?
Of course. So on our website, the Minnesota Department of Health website, you can learn everything about this and more by going to www.health.state.mn.us/diseases/coronavirus/vaccine. It's a mouthful, but there is where you will find all the information you would need about the vaccines available, about the connector, how to sign up for the connector, and that MDH hotline number that I shared. Again, that number is 1-833-431-2053. I should also mention that that hotline number is also set up and in connection with Language Line, which serves people who need additional language needs outside of English. So if you fall into that category, still call that number and we can get you connected to someone who can better communicate with you.
Prior to earlier this week, the governor announced 2 million vaccine or doses made in the state of Minnesota. And now we have this pause with the Pfizer version of the vaccine. What does that do to what you're doing at the state fairgrounds, and how does that impact citizens of the state of Minnesota?
Sure. And just a small correction, a pause to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
I'm sorry, the Johnson & Johnson.
No problem. A lot of vaccines out there right now. So
that's right.
The good news is that no state of Minnesota vaccination site, including the FEMA site, at the FEMA partnership site at the state fairgrounds, were supposed to use Johnson & Johnson this week. That's not to say that other healthcare providers were planning to administer Johnson & Johnson. That is true. And we have recommended to those providers to follow the CDC and FDA recommendations
to temporarily pause use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine at this time. You know, and that recommendation really has come because 6 people out of the 7 million who received Johnson & Johnson experienced this rare, you know, sort of blood clot after getting their shot. So it is a small sample size that has experienced this condition, but it's really because we want to, the CDC wants to have enough time and the FDA to review the cases, understand their potential significance, and then move forward with better recommendations on what to do with the shot. So thankfully, the state vaccination sites, you know, all of our semi-permanent and permanent sites, in addition to the FEMA site, will move forward this week as planned using other vaccine than the Johnson & Johnson.
Everyone, Elizabeth Eboth with us this weekend talking about the new state fair site. That had to have been, how long did it take to negotiate with the state fair to use this site as a place for making sure that Minnesotans are safe?
Well, you know, because the federal partnership, like I said, a lot of it came from the effort and leadership from Governor Walz and the administration to really designate our state and designate this area as a good choice to send some of these doses to. The reasoning behind selecting the state fairgrounds and the expediency with which that site was selected came from, like I mentioned, that we wanted to focus on areas that have the highest social vulnerability index. That so happens to be Ramsey County in the state of Minnesota. And so in thinking about where we would have this, you know, the state fairgrounds really became the most prominent location, considering the magnitude of this effort and accounting for all of the operational logistics needs that we needed. So it was a very quick turnaround between getting this partnership solidified and then getting the state fairgrounds set up. They've been working over the weekend, really just amazing effort to pull it together and get it launched.
Are you seeing less vaccine hesitation or deliberation as we continue to unfold week after week with the number of people taking the vaccine increasing?
We have been seeing that, actually. You know, I think when these vaccine doses were first being brought to market, there were concerns, rightfully so, that people had an understanding how they were created and what this really meant for them. I think as we've been seeing in various communities, increase in vaccination acceptance. I mean, let's take a look at our Black and African American population. We make up 6% of our overall state's population. And so far, 3.7% of us over the age of 15 have received at least one dose of the vaccine. So we're headed in the right direction. Like you said, over 2.1 million doses have been administered so far. We're over 80% of vaccination in our 65 plus and our seniors. So we're seeing the progress as we move forward. And I think at this point, it's just to continue that energy and continue finding unique ways to bring the vaccine to places that people feel most comfortable to get it and places that have the least barrier to getting it.
I'm not very good at math, and I'm wondering if you can help me. How long will it take to vaccinate at least 90% of Minnesotans?
Well, I'm not sure why you think I'm good at math, but I think at this point, we are on a, you know, our initial projections as we look at our who's eligible map and moving through those phases, you know, we were looking at somewhere in the summer into fall when we were at that whole opening, you know, the state's fully open to eligibility. Okay, well, now we're in April and we're already open to eligibility. So I think we can feel confident and comfortable that at the rate we're going, you know, we'll stay on track to meet some of those metrics over the summer and into the early fall, most certainly.
All right. Elizabeth Eboth, I can't thank you enough for being with us on New Beginnings. And our program continues right now. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Freddie.
If you've received the vaccine, there is some good news.
You can get together indoors with other fully vaccinated people, unvaccinated, healthy people without wearing a mask. This would be like a grandparent traveling to visit their children and grandchildren who all live together in the same household. But if you're visiting a household where there will be immunocompromised people there who are at increased risk of getting really sick if they catch the coronavirus, you should still wear a mask.
This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to New Beginnings. So excited that you'd be here with us. And we're almost exactly 1 month into spring. And with us right now is Kelly Von Hanekamp. She is the founder of West Metro Hypnosis. You can find her online at westmetrohypnosis.com. That's all one long word. 952-222-3975 is how you can find her online. And good morning and welcome back, Kelly.
Hi, Freddie. It's so good to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. And what is our contemplation this week?
Well, our mindful reset is one surrounding joy.
Mm.
And so I give everybody an opportunity to take these few minutes every week to contemplate a new word and our own inner ability to become and be that word and use it as a resourceful state. And we do this by taking a moment to breathe and knowing that so many of us are in this moment together, collectively, breathing in and breathing out, connecting to joy within. As we take these moments to relax in, to settle down, we can think about our ability to be joyful. Our ability to be joyful at times, we think, is dependent upon circumstances. We think about all of the challenges that our world is facing. Perhaps we've just listened to the news and don't think we have any reason to be joyful, or we feel selfish. I remind all of us that it is joy, that the joyful moments are the things that allow us to face our struggles from a more robust state of mind. That joy allows us to connect to our resilience so that we are able to face challenges more resourced in a more balanced state of mind. And we can look out into the natural world, especially during the springtime, where flowers are opening up, where animals are out and about, where we see more and more of nature awakening, blooming, unfolding before our very eyes. And it's as if joy is embedded into this process, naturally unfolding in an array and brilliance of different colors. We look out into a field of flowers and it looks joyful. The same ability is within you and within me, despite circumstances, despite what may be going on. It is important for us to connect to the joy within, knowing that it can appear in very, very small ways that have big impacts. Watching our pets play, enjoying a cup of coffee in the morning, watching the sun rise, being with a grandchild and their innate curiosity are all ways for each of us to connect to our own joy. And so I invite you this week to pay attention to your own ability to be in joy. Thanks so much for being here.
That's Kelly Von Hanekamp of West Metro Hypnosis, and this is New Beginnings. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
Calling Myrtle Fillmore to mind again in her story of her healing, many people said, "Oh, Mrs. Fillmore, you must have been healed in an instant." She said, "No. I caught the idea of life, but my body needed some time. In her case, 2 years to heal itself once she caught the idea, I am a child of God. That's my instruction. That's the truth of who I am. An expression of infinite life and power. That's what I know inwardly. And as I hold to that truth, if I remember my instruction manual, then in time and in process, I can make the changes in my life that I think are for my good. I can clean up my act, whatever that may be. I may make amends. But as I do it from a sense of power, of inner spiritual capacity. I don't do it from a sense of shame or guilt. Wake up before cleaning up. The poet, Mark Nepo, who's on the cover of the current issue of Unity Magazine, it's there in our library, he wrote, "Misery is a moment of suffering allowed to become everything." He goes on to describe the process of waking up to a greater, more expansive view of life. Now, we all know pain in the body, or we might say pain in our soul, hard feelings, that does get our attention. And it gets our attention for the purpose, as we sang in the grace chant, it gets our attention that we may become aware of what needs to be healed, what greater truth needs to be revealed in our life. So it's like a caution sign saying a healing is needed here. But it's important to begin with the centering, to read that instruction manual of your life that tells you who you are, how you are brought into being, what the truth of you is. And then from that point, you can make the changes in your life that you're guided to make. Reverend Dr. Michael Gott, minister of the very large Unity of Houston, challenged himself to write what we see on, I believe, CBS as a note to self. He conceived a letter as if life were writing a letter to him. That is, what would life say to him? And as Dr. Michael Gott described it, when I began to write this letter, something happened. Something opened in my consciousness and simultaneously bloomed in my heart. I felt this wondrous, infinite, cosmic presence of intelligence and love that birthed and sustains me, knew me, loves me, cherishes me. I felt awe at how big life is, and I felt valued and connected in an intimate way. There was no judgment, no human condition based, "I'll love you if you follow the rules," sort of love. I still feel this vast and intimate love. I feel honored and blessed to be alive in this human experience today. I don't feel it all the time. But this connection is there every moment I reach for it. That's our call, isn't it? To be awake, to be aware of the preciousness of life, and to know that we are a part of it. From the Gospel of John, the opening chapter that speaks of the indwelling of life itself within every man and woman in the world, as it says. in that chapter. It says, out of the superabundance of life and truth, we have all received gifts of grace beyond our imagination. And here's the kicker, the punchline, part of the instruction book. It reads, you see, Moses gave us rules to live by. But Jesus the Christ offered us gifts of grace and truth that will awaken us. Do you hear the distinction? In unity, we say in the Hebrew scriptures and tradition, Moses was the first bringer of the law. This is how life works. Do this, this happens. Don't do this, something else won't happen. Rules of living. And this is good knowledge. But Jesus brought this Christ idea that God is with us, within us. We can turn to that. As Reverend Gott said, we don't hold that idea all the time. We forget it. We slip up. But that truth is always there when we choose. I'm choosing heaven today. I'm choosing this higher truth for myself. This essential truth of who and what I am because God created me. God brought me into this world. Do you remember those old bumper stickers a few decades ago? I'm dating myself again. The ones that said, God don't create no junk. But has that thought ever gone through your mind? In your moments of spiritual practice, perhaps in prayer, or as one of our friends shared in the early service, she goes out into the beauty of nature and is just inwardly awakened to be a part of all of life. But other times we forget it. And unlike that bumper sticker, we begin thinking of all our faults. And helpful teachers along the way, like Myrtle Fillmore, said, remember, you've looked at your faults enough. Look at your virtues. Look at what she liked to call your divine inheritance. Charles Fillmore described it this way. These spiritual ideals we have all been given to choose and to develop, to choose and to bring forth in our life. It's an instruction manual. And we do well to read the instructions first. So for a moment, I invite you to join me in the silence. This is the time when we can see the instructions of life within us most clearly.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.